Keyshawn Johnson.
Yeah. Staff to pick up Popeye's chicken for Keyshawn.
One of the NFL's most respected analysts.
Morning, Keyshawn. How you doing? It's been a little while, but it's great to hear your voice. Nobody knows what's going on more than you do.
And one of the game's most charismatic stars ever.
Shut your ass up! Play football! Man, you a fake-ass John Randall. Shut your ass up!
ESPN's Keyshawn Johnson joins Dale and Keefe.
Who am I speaking to, Keefe or Dale?
Neither. They're not on today. This is Andy.
Oh, God. All right.
Well,
sorry, guys.
Now on WEEI.
Seems only fair, doesn't it? Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI, that we weren't here when last he joined us, and he's not here when now he joins us. But he will be here in a moment, I think.
Maybe. Joining us, he wakes up.
When he does, on the Harbor One Hotline is ESPN NFL analyst, former NFL wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson. You can hear Keyshawn every morning on ESPN Radio's morning show, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, as well as on ESPN's NFL Live program, which airs weeknights from 4 to 5 p.m. You just don't necessarily hear him here. But
soon enough.
Do the best we can with what we got. Enough.
That's right.
He'll be with us in just a couple of minutes. And as I said earlier, other than Wiggy, I don't think there's been a more ardent defender of Cam Newton than Keyshawn Johnson this year.
No.
Correct.
It really hasn't been. And it's, you know, we've been over it, and it's 15 games. You know, this isn't a couple of games and you're saying, oh, there was a drop pass there by Bird or, a miscue there. Or, like, we've been over it. We've been over the rushing touchdowns. We've been over the lack of weapons. We've been over all this stuff. But just his ability to throw is so far below average. Like, I don't know how much better a Stephon Diggs would really make him. Yes, it'd be better, but to what end?
They'd have to be better. The trouble is they wouldn't have anybody to throw the football to them. And as we said, joining us right now on the Harbor One Hotline, ESPN analyst Keyshawn Johnson. Good morning, Keyshawn. How are you?
How are you guys doing? Missed you last week.
Yes, we did.
Hey,
we did have our time off. And
some
sorry,
of us but, were here. Yeah, Andy, the backups are also the part-timers. Yeah. Let's go.
You know. Keyshawn, I said earlier, you are one of the most ardent Cam Newton defenders I know. After a season in which he threw 8 touchdown passes and 10 interceptions, would you bring him back as your quarterback next year?
You think I'm a defender or you think I'm a realist?
I would call it defender.
And I would call it a realist. but to answer your question, you know, what's our plans? Did we see enough in Cam Newton to think that, okay, if we put better pieces around him, then we'll become a better football team? Because is there a Super Bowl winning quarterback that's available to us? Probably not. Is there something better than what we already have as a veteran quarterback that's out there? We would have to scour the airways and find that out. To answer your question, I probably would just sit down, take my time, assess it, take a look at it, and see where we want to go as an organization. But I don't think that he played to the point of no return. Like people act like this is Nick Foles 2.0 or something. Like they act like he is, the fourth string quarterback of an 0-16 team.
Nick Foles actually threw more touchdowns this year than Cam.
Oh, that's a shock.
As a backup.
Yeah, and that may be the case. He also has a better wide receiving core than Cam.
So I'm curious, do you think that would make that much of a difference for Cam? And don't get me wrong, the Patriots receivers and tight ends were not good at all this year. However, we also saw a lot of missed throws. You know, James White, just on a screen pass, would be wide open and he would overthrow him. Or other receivers downfield, he would miss. So you think it's more the receivers
than certainly him? Didn't play. Yeah. He certainly didn't play up the par. He certainly missed balls. I saw balls dribbled at people's feet.
Yeah,
but all that can be attributed to something, right? I mean, it's not just all gloom and doom. You have to, as a football coach and a personnel director, you have to assess what your needs are to make your team better. And maybe better tight ends and better offensive linemen and better receivers will help the process and give Cam Newton more confidence. But, you know, as I've seen before, I've seen guys that have been looked up on as throwaways and then they go somewhere else and have a rebirth. And maybe that rebirth is not in New England. It's in San Francisco or it's in Denver or something like that.
How much do you think there is value in bringing him back for a second season because he deserves a second season to learn the offense, have a full off season? He spoke a lot on our station this week about that fact that, you know, this was different than what he'd ever worked in Carolina. And, you know, he was replacing a guy that had 20 years in the same system. And he certainly sort of indicated that, you know, more time in the system, you would reap the benefits of that.
I think everybody knows that. You know that. Bill Belichick knows that. And people that have any common sense whatsoever about football know that the longer you are in a system, you command more attention, you grasp it, you do more. I mean, it's a known factor. And it may work in Cam's favor to come back another year and be in the same system. It may work in New England's favor. But if the New England Patriot fan base and people are just don't like what they see, I can understand that. I'm not, you know, as you said, I'm an apologist to him. No, I'm not. I'm just a realist. I know what it takes. And it doesn't take 16 games in a COVID-ridden season to the point where now all of a sudden 20 years of success and 1 year of failure, this guy can't play football anymore, given the fact that he hasn't had a chance to really do everything. Like, be fair. Like, if you're gonna judge somebody, you got to be fair now, right? I mean, it's just if you gave him the weapons Matt Ryan has, and then all of a sudden it looked like it looked, then I would be sitting there. I'd be the first to tell you, yeah, he can't play anymore. He's done. But if you give him the weapons Jared Goff has or the weapons that Josh Allen has, let's see what he looks like with something. And they may do that. They may come back. They may come back in the offseason and say, we're going to sign him, come training camp. Mini camps and OTAs with other pieces around him. And he may look good or he may look bad. And if he looks bad, they may, you know how they do. They'll cut you before you even get to training camp, because it just doesn't look right. They may do that.
We're talking to Keyshawn Johnson, ESPN Radio. I have said in the past, Keyshawn, that I don't think players or coaches ever throw a game. And then Sunday night happened. Do you think Doug Peterson was trying to lose that game?
Of course he was trying to lose it. Now, does it matter really, though? Does it really matter that he went from 9-6? It probably does to the Giant fans in the Giant home base. But let's make the argument for many organizations over time that have rested players, decided not to play players because for whatever reason they clinched playoff spots, they had nothing to play for. And in the end, why risk certain things? Why is that any different than what Doug Peterson did?
So I personally loved it. I thought it was the right move for the franchise. I know Joe Judge has gotten up on his high horse and cried about it.
Never do that. That's not the integrity of the National Football League.
Yep, well, there he is now. Joe Judge on the line.
Never, ever do that. I'm Joe Judge, and I learned the New England way. We play our players. Okay, man, whatever.
Yeah, I felt the exact same way. I guess the one counter would be the veteran guys on the Eagles – like Jason Kelce and these other guys. There's some reports that players were like all fired up, or some of the veteran guys were fired up, had to be like held back or whatever. Can you lose those guys? Those guys that were trying to win, or do you think they'll get
held
over
back? They were held back. I know you had to restrain them from attacking the head coach. They wanted to beat him down. I get it. Reports say it. I know.
Yeah, right.
Look,
right.
Every player play a game to win, man. Okay. I've been set down a number of times when we've clinched divisions or clinched playoff spots when I played, and I didn't play in games, or I've been taken out of games and blowouts and wanted to play and finish the deal because I started the deal. I get it. I understand it 100%. But I also understand where Doug is coming from. And now whether or not his explanation at the podium in a post-presser made everybody, you know, caught everybody's attention because he said that he was playing to win. He was playing to win, but he realized that you can do both, right? I can play to win knowing that I'm not going to win with the players that's on the field. I know that. But if some miracle happens and we win, great. But the chances of that happening are going to be slim to none, because I know that guy that's playing quarterback right now is not going to be able to get it done. But if he does, hats off to him. But I know, based on what I've seen, that he's not any good. And that's where Doug got the best of the situation and moved him from 9-6. Did the Pittsburgh – like I said to my co-host Jason Williams this morning, I said, Jay, are you telling me – because he tried to argue did all this. I said, Jay, are you telling me that Mike Tomlin never had a losing record in his tenure in Pittsburgh ever? Always 500 or better. Two-time Super Bowl appearing coach. Super Bowl winning coach. Playoff perennial. Are you telling me that he – deliberately threw the game for Cleveland to get into the playoffs? Are you telling me that the integrity of Mike Tomlin is questioned because he didn't play starters? Is that what we're hearing? Andy Reid allowed the Chargers to win with not playing Patrick Mahomes and some of those it's a playoff. It doesn't matter. The decision was made, and we all know if you don't play frontline guys, your chances, your margin of victory is very slim. Do we not agree?
I don't. Yes. I agree with that. I do.
Do you think Doug Peterson owes Jalen Hurts a sit-down explanation of what the hell happened?
He probably already talked to him and said, hey, I mean, it's a fine line. Because as a coach in an organization, you can't tell the league this is what I'm doing. That's why the league put in the rule that you play your division opponents at the end of the year because they didn't want teams putting bad product on the field. So he's not going to ever say what he was doing. That would be going against what the league rules are, correct? So you want to just say, yeah, we played the way we needed to play. I don't want Doug to have to explain to anybody what he was doing because I don't want them to have to get into trouble. I don't have a horse in the race, but I understand what they were doing. And I think the league understands what they were doing. Understanding and knowing is different than proving. But if you say, oh, well, we were tanking to get the sixth pick, guess what? You're now going to be fine. You're going to be drafted. You're going to go through all of that mess. So why not? Well, so just don't say anything. Just let everybody argue it on sports talk radio and television shows for another week, and then it'll go away.
Keyshawn, there's a few players, both pro level for the Patriots, guys like Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung, and then high-level college players that sat out this season. Do you think it's going to be hard for those guys to kind of pick back up where they left off? And especially guys like Hightower and Chung, might it be hard to even get back into the football swing of things when you've basically been retired for a year?
No, because I'm sure they've been doing football acclimated things like training and stuff like that. And then they'll have a normal mini camp schedule. They'll have a normal training camp schedule. A year off it's not that bad because they're not injured. So they should have been training. If I know right, they probably are training. They probably are doing the right thing. Especially if they want to go back to the New England Patriots and they know Bill Belichick's not going to have some fat, lazy, out of shape guys running around. So they're going to come back in shape and intact. So I don't think that'll be a problem. You know, if it was some sort of injury, major injury, and we were talking about coming back and sitting out, that's a different conversation. But just sitting down for, 5 months, then, you know, I think you'll be able to do it. It's almost like you never played, right? You just worked out and you never got a chance to play in the game because you were not good enough.
What about the high-level draft prospects? Sewell, the kid from Oregon, you know, the Chase, the wide receiver, even Trey Lance. If you were a GM, would you have concerns about using a top-10 pick on a guy that been out of football?
No, because then if that's the case, then you're going to have a lot of problems picking players this year because a lot of players bunch of games. I mean, you either had minimum games or no games. So it's like, I mean, some players play 6 games, 5 games, and then decided to opt out. Some players play no games and opted out. So I don't think that they're going to look at it from that standpoint. Sewell's healthy. He'll get into shape if he's not already in shape, and the rest will be history. Because most of these guys have gone to training facilities and working out. They didn't just go home and sit on the couch. They've probably gone to some training facility to get ready and prepare for the draft.
Keyshawn, I'm curious, out of all the teams in the AFC, who do you think has the best chance of beating the Chiefs?
They look like Buffalo right now. Look like Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills, Stephon Diggs, you know, Brandon Bean, the general manager, and that group. It looks like they have the high-powered octane to go and get it. But it's going to be hard. Kansas City is not, you know, Kansas City will spot you 21 and come get you.
Right.
So that group does, to me, look like that they have the fortitude and the ability to go in and take care of business in Kansas City if they had to. But it's still early, right? I mean, we've seen good teams in the regular season look great and get to the playoffs. And the first time they get to the playoffs, they run up against the wrong team and they get popped. You know, Indianapolis Colts are coming out of a dome and going to Buffalo. Buffalo should win that game. But, you know, there's always the what if factor, right? I mean, it's just always the what if. What if they lose? What if Josh Allen has a bad day because he feels the pressure all of a sudden?
Final question before we let you go. The Cleveland Browns announced this morning that head coach Kevin Stefanski, two additional members of the coaching staff, and two players have tested positive. At the moment, their contingency plan calls for special teams coordinator Mike Prefer to serve as acting head coach. Denver had to play a game without any quarterbacks this year because of COVID. Is this the nightmare scenario for the NFL, that going into a playoff game, a team's going to have to do it without their head coach and other coaches, or have to do it without running backs, or whatever happens here going forward?
Wow. So where are we at? What day is this? This is Tuesday?
Yeah.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Ooh, that's not enough time. If in fact, they test positive, right?
They did, according to the Browns. They announced Stefanski, two members of the coaching staff, and two players have tested positive.
Yeah, this is a nightmare. Gosh, that's a night. Everything that Cleveland did to get into the playoffs, now their play caller and their head guy may not coach the game. It'd be interesting. It'd be interesting because I wonder if the NFL, unlike college, will allow a coach to coach from the box and isolate it.
Yeah.
Where college football didn't allow that to happen.
Right.
But will the NFL say, okay, you can coach from the box and isolate yourself in an area?
It's a great question. My initial instinct is they won't allow that, because they've been so adamant about, you know, quarantining positive cases and keeping everybody distanced and safe. And I understand you could say, well, he's up in the box, he's not near anybody. My guess is they won't let him in the facility at all.
No, you don't have to go in the facility. It's a stadium. Oh, they got to travel to Pittsburgh, though.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and if the two players are Nick Chubb and Jarvis Landry, it doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Is that the two? We don't know the
two. We don't know the players yet.
Yeah, well, it's unfortunate for Cleveland if that's the case, that they've done all this to make it to the playoffs and they've been defeated by COVID.
Well, not yet. They could pull out. It's us against the world. That can be their rallying cry. Even COVID's against us.
We'll see.
Keyshawn, we always appreciate
the time. Yeah, I don't know
about
that one.
All right,
thanks,
Keyshawn.
Thanks, Keyshawn.